desire is for us to experience just a greater and deeper level of intimacy in our relationship with Him. It's for us to be able to experience the fullness of life that comes from a life that's fully devoted to God. That's what He wants for us. He wants that level of intimacy. There's a number of ways that that takes place, but one of the most significant ways is that God offers even more of Himself to us in the form of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You know, me personally, I've had the joy of growing up in the Assemblies of God. That's our cooperative fellowship. It's our denomination. And I've been AG my entire life. My family's AG. I'm multiple generations AG. I think I'm like the fourth or the fifth or something. So I have a heritage in the Assemblies of God. And I have heard the Holy Spirit preached and taught about for my entire life. That said, I've had conversations with individuals from different backgrounds or different affiliations or denominations, just different walks of life. And the range of emotion that has been encompassed in these conversations, it's been pretty wide. I've had people who were interested, they wanted to learn more about the subject, but I've even had people who thought it was weird and even wrong to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I say that to say, I know what it's like to sort of navigate the wide range of emotions. Today, we can walk away with a better understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit and the purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, why it matters, why it's important, and why it applies to us today. I want us to be able to recognize that the baptism in the Holy Spirit really is a gift that God offers believers in order for us to be able to experience more of Himself. And it's a gift that should be eagerly desired, and we should seek after it. Why don't we pray together, and then we can continue and really just start diving in. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity. Lord, it's always good to be in Your house to worship You with our attitudes, with our words, with our actions. But Holy Spirit, I pray in this moment that as we look to Your word, You would just speak to our hearts. You'd confirm what we're learning about You, and that we would just walk away with a greater understanding. I pray for, again, Your presence to be experienced and felt, and I pray for Your Holy Spirit to just have Your way in this service. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For just a moment, let's talk about who the Holy Spirit is and the role that He plays in our lives. First of all, the Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, and He's not an it. The Holy Spirit is God, just the same as God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who actually convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit helps us to recognize our need of a Savior. He plays a critical role in our lives. The Bible teaches that at the very moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us at that very moment. We're spiritually born again. That's what that means. And Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit lives within us. He mentions it in Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. It says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory." When you and I, when we put our faith in Jesus, God so wants us to know that we're a part of His family, that He's given us the Holy Spirit as a constant reminder that we belong to Him, that we're actually a part of His family. Listen to how Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in John 14, 15 through 17. It says, "If you love Me, keep My commands, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." So the Holy Spirit is our advocate. The Holy Spirit is our helper, our guide, who teaches, guides, and helps us to really live the godly lives that God is calling us to. He wants us to be more like Christ. We could spend an entire series just on the topic of the Holy Spirit and His role in our lives, but we're going to spend most of our time looking at the Day of Pentecost encounter. We've really not yet scratched the surface on who the Holy Spirit is, but it's imperative that we understand that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is separate from the Holy Spirit indwelling believers at the point of salvation. There is a difference there. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get them ready. You can follow along in the Bible app or use a paper Bible or even just look at the screen. But we're going to look again at the great book of Acts mostly at the beginning chapters. So let's start with Acts 1, 4 through 5, and that'll sort of set the scene. It says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, and he was Jesus, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's flip over to the next chapter, Acts 2. That's where we're going to spend most of our time. Let's look at 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So when we think about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we should recognize that it really is the availability of God to us. It's the availability of God to us. What I mean is God is actively making more of himself available to you and me. He wants us to be able to experience more. And one of the best ways is through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what he's promised to us. What we're seeing in our main text really is this promise being fulfilled. It's happening right before our very eyes. In the few verses that we just read, we read about a sound like a violent wind. Something's taking place, and there's flames that appear above their heads, and they begin to speak in languages that they had not learned and didn't know. So it's not their native language. Let's keep reading. We'll look at what happened in Acts 2, 5 through 13. It says, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, what does this mean? Pay special attention to verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. So crowds are starting to gather. They recognize that there's a commotion taking place. Something's happening. So people gather to check out the scene, what's going on. And suddenly, these people were able to speak in languages that were not their own native languages. So all these different, diverse group of people, they're saying, he's speaking my language. What's happening here? Aren't these all Galileans? They're not these other people. How are they able to speak this way? Many were amazed, but there were some skeptics who were saying, I think they might be drunk. Maybe they've had too much wine. Recognizing that there's some confusion among the people, Peter sees his opportunity. He gets up and he addresses the crowd and says, we're not drunk. First of all, it's early in the morning, and second, we don't really do that. So they're saying, we're not drunk, but what is taking place has been promised by God. And he quotes Joel 2:28, which says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. So what we can see from our main text is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it really is the availability of God to us. He's making more and more of himself available. He has promised that his Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all people. And later on, we're going to talk about what that means for us, how the Holy Spirit is the fullness of God in us, and it's the power of God through us. But first, we need to understand that this really is a gift that God has made available for his people in order to experience more of himself. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's not supposed to be a once and done type of experience. So if you're here and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit before, that's amazing, but it's not supposed to be just a once and done type of experience. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, what happens is we're embarking on a journey of deeper intimacy with God, and really a deeper relationship that needs to be maintained. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit must be maintained. If you were baptized in the Holy Spirit sometime in the past, that's amazing, like I said, but I don't want you to feel like you have to be baptized over and over again as if the first one didn't count. That said, you should actively seek to receive a fresh filling. So it's not a do-over, but it's just receiving more from God. You can receive a fresh filling. You can experience that. You should seek it. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Craig Keener, a great author and a Bible commentator, in his book Gift and Giver, he talks about the Holy Spirit indwelling us and our need for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how it really just changes the dynamics of the relationship. Like something changes in our relationship. He says this, "That means we seek not a single experience, but a continuing relationship, daily encountering our Master in the power of His Holy Spirit, living out of the power already imparted to us when we became followers of Jesus Christ." So we know that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it is a gift from God that fulfills a promise made long before any of us were alive, that He was going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. God wants this for us, and it's one of the ways that He's made more of Himself available. He desires that we would seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. If we want to experience everything that God has for us, this is one of the biggest things that He's made available to us. Again, it's not a once-and-done type experience, but rather, it's an experience that's supposed to just propel us into greater intimacy in our relationship with God. So if you're feeling like, I just don't know that there's all that much exciting in my relationship with God, something feels off, I don't feel this intimacy like I want to, the baptism in the Holy Spirit will propel you into greater levels of intimacy in your relationship with God. We've talked about that. Now I want to talk about how the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the fullness of God in us. We can talk about what we really experience, what happens inside of us after we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. At the point of conversion, we already talked about the Holy Spirit indwells us, but what that means is we no longer belong to the world. Instead, we now belong to Jesus. And instead of being in the realm of the flesh, we're now in the realm of the Spirit. If you recall our Romans series, that's what Paul was talking about in Romans 8, 9. It says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So Paul, in this verse, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Because we belong to Christ, the Holy Spirit causes us to be molded and shaped in order to look more like Jesus. In Galatians, Paul shows us this contrast between our sinful nature and the nature that God wants us to have. It's what the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Galatians 5, 19 through 23 tells us, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." But listen to this. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." How many of you ever memorized these? I remember in kids' church we had a little song about them. Every time I hear it, I'm tempted to do the song, but I'll spare you. Anyways, this is the contrast that comes up between the acts of the flesh, what we tend to do on our own, and what the Holy Spirit actually wants to produce in our lives. When we're baptized, we gain that greater level of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And what it does is it brings about an increased sensitivity to all the things that displease God. Where we might have been calloused before, suddenly we recognize, wow, when I behave this way, that doesn't please God. God doesn't want me to do the things that I used to do. The Holy Spirit will help us to recognize that. And as we do, we recognize those temptations of the flesh. The Holy Spirit will give us an incredible tool that we can use for increased prayer effectiveness. What that is the ability to speak in tongues. And that's where some people, when they're talking about the Holy Spirit, that might raise some concerns. You might love it. I love it. But if you're not familiar with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the part where it might be confusing. So I want us to dive in and look at what it's all about. From our main text, we saw that those who were gathered in the upper room, they did begin speaking in tongues as they experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When someone speaks in tongues, they might be speaking in a language that does exist on earth, or they're speaking in a heavenly language that does not exist on earth. But just like those gathered in the upper room, when someone speaks in tongues, what you can look out for is they're speaking a language that they don't know and they haven't learned, just as the Holy Spirit enables them to do so. In the book of Corinthians, Paul talks about the relationship between speaking in tongues and prophecy. We're going to talk about the spiritual gifts a little bit later, but I want to focus in on what these verses in particular have to say about tongues. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. It says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." So let's break down these verses. The ability to speak in tongues, it has multiple purposes, and it's given to us for a particular reason. When we speak in tongues, we're speaking to God in a language that we haven't learned, but God understands it. When we speak in tongues, it can be an act of worship to God, and that edifies ourselves. Or if it's in a corporate setting like we're experiencing today, when someone speaks in tongues and then there's a word of interpretation, that edifies the church. We hear God speaking to us in a way that brings about encouragement. It brings about just edification within ourselves. We can experience the fullness of God in us when we speak in tongues, because tongues is a perfect heavenly language. I don't know about you guys, but I've always been fascinated by linguistics. One of my favorite things about it is I like finding words that exist in other languages that either don't exist in English or it takes multiple words to explain in English. I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. There's a word called, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciations because they're not English words, but there's a word called tartle that's used in Scotland, and it describes the panicky hesitation that you feel when you have to introduce someone whose name you don't fully remember. So it's the awkward tension, and that word is tartle. And there's another word, palenti, and it's used in Ghana, and it literally means to move hot food around in your mouth. You've had the experience, right? You grab the slice of pizza and you take a bite too fast and it's in your mouth, you can't spit it out, so you turn into a dragon for a second, you're just blowing hot air. Yeah, that's what that word means. And finally, there's another word, lagom, and it's a Swedish word, and it's used to describe something that's not too much, not too little, but just right. So is it Goldilocks? I think it's the Goldilocks word, right? The English language is great. I'm thankful for it. I love it. But we can all agree it's not perfect. There are limitations. When we pray and we speak in tongues, we're communicating with God in a way that we're released from all of those earthly limitations. We don't ever have to worry about having the perfect words to say. We don't have to worry about what I'm feeling. Have you ever just been in a season or even a moment where you just feel like, God, I want to pray, but I can't. I don't even know what to say. There's so much going on. I can't even find the right words. That's when we can use our prayer language that comes from the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That is a gift given by the Holy Spirit to us so that we can pray without those earthly limitations. And I know in my life, I'm so thankful for that gift, because sometimes it's just too much. I say, God, I want to pray, but I just can't find the words. I don't know what to say. That's when our prayer language comes in. Bible commentator Donald Stamps, he says this about our prayer language. I love this quote. "When Spirit-filled Christians use their prayer language in private times with God, the Holy Spirit is actually praying through them in perfect agreement with God's character, desires, and purposes. Although they do not understand what is communicated, they can be confident that this language expresses exactly what is needed." So far, we've talked about the fact that the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's the availability of God to us. This is something he's promised. He's making more of himself available to us, and it's readily available. We've also talked about now how it's the fullness of God in us. It's meant to give us an intimate relationship with God. It's to help us develop our spiritual sensitivity to the things that displease God, and it gives us this access to a beautiful heavenly language free from all earthly limitations for increased prayer effectiveness. Now I want us to talk about how the baptism in the Holy Spirit really is the power of God through us. After his death and his resurrection, Jesus, in Luke 24:49, he tells the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem because he was going to send them what God had promised. He said that they would be clothed with power from on high. So they told him to go and wait. The baptism in the Holy Spirit causes us to be equipped with power in order to do God's work, in order to advance his kingdom. The baptism in the Holy Spirit helps us to experience God actually working through us, and he gives us increased ministry effectiveness. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't say, hey, I want you to do my work, but you got to figure it out all on your own? I'm thankful that he wants to equip us with power to accomplish his purposes. Everything about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, it really should bring to mind a picture of more of God, of fullness, of abundance, of being immersed in his Spirit. Some people use the analogy of a cup, and I like it. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit, we're the cup, and at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and our cup is full. What the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, it's an overflowing. We're filled to the point where we overflow, and then we get to minister out of the abundance, out of the overflow of what the Holy Spirit has provided. In John 7:38-39, Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." In verse 39, it says, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." So when it comes to being equipped to do his work, God wants us to minister out of the overflow. We don't have to be running with our tank on empty. He wants to minister through us out of the overflow of his Holy Spirit. When we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, we should be actively operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts. And I mentioned earlier that tongues can be used in a corporate setting. That's one of the expressions of the many gifts of the Spirit. It's a different variety. And when we're baptized, that's what we should be actively operating in. George O. Wood, in his book Living in the Spirit, he says the gifts are meant to flourish among those who are baptized in the Spirit. Spirit baptism plunges a person into new dimensions of intimacy with God and empowerment for witness. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is meant to bring about in our lives increased ministry effectiveness. In Jesus' life, we can actually see evidence of this taking place. We can see the link between the start of Jesus' ministry and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Peter says in Acts 10:37-38, "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him." So even Jesus had this moment where he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and God was with him, and then he did all of the incredible things that we see accounted for in Scripture. Where we left off in Acts 2, let's go back there. Peter had just addressed the crowds, and he told them about God's promised Holy Spirit coming. That's what they were witnessing. Now in verse 22, under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, he starts to boldly proclaim the gospel. He starts explaining, he's like, "Guys, we're not drunk. Let me tell you what's happening." And he tells them all about Jesus, his life and his ministry, his death and his resurrection. And that is a genuine demonstration of the power and the boldness of the Holy Spirit. I love thinking about the fact that it really wasn't too long ago that Peter, while Jesus was going to the cross, denied him. He couldn't even admit to knowing Jesus, but now here he is in the face of the crowds, boldly, under the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, saying, no, you've got it wrong. Let me set the record straight. This is what's happening. This is who Jesus is. That's boldness. That's the equipment, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I would strongly recommend and encourage you to continue reading through the book of Acts on your own time if you've not fully dived into it, because it is just incredible. You begin to see what life looks like for the apostles after the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. what takes place. You can see the spiritual gift starting to flourish in all of their lives, and it's incredible. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, it lists some of the spiritual gifts. I want to highlight some for you. It says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by that Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." So while these gifts can and should operate in a setting like this, in a corporate worship setting, in church, we should see the gifts being manifested and being operated, but we also need to see these gifts working through us in our everyday lives, in our places of work. So not only in these walls, but everywhere out there too. We can trust that the Holy Spirit is going to bring about opportunities in our lives for us to demonstrate God's power through us. We can pray for people to be healed. God might bring about a divine appointment where you just feel something within you that says, I need to go and talk to that person. And when you're wondering, what am I going to say? Or I feel intimidated by witnessing or sharing my faith. That's when the Holy Spirit's power will come through in your life and you can manifest that gift of boldness, that gift of faith, the expression of it in your life. We need to use these gifts to minister to a lost and a broken world because there's so many people that desperately need to hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. We saw earlier in 1 Corinthians 14 that these gifts are to be eagerly desired. It's not just something we should be passive about, but we should be seeking, saying, Holy Spirit, would you work through me? Would you bring about these gifts in my life so that I can use them for ministry effectiveness? It's not to make ourselves look any kind of way, but it's only to point an arrow back to God and to Jesus. When I think about this mission that God has set before us to take the gospel to the very edges of the earth, I know that I can't do it on my own, and I don't want to. I want and I need, I desire and I seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the power of God working through me. We must partner with God and understand that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the availability of God to us. It's the fullness of God in us, and it is the power of God through us. I want to ask the worship team to come back at this time, and I'll close with just these final thoughts. If you're here this morning, we are a Pentecostal church, so if you're here and you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit before, I just want to celebrate that with you. That's amazing. I'm so thankful. I would encourage you to open yourself up to God as we worship, and just seek a fresh filling. Would you just make yourself available to God and say, Lord, I've heard about what took place on the day of Pentecost. I've experienced it sometime in my life, and I'm ready for a fresh filling again. If you're here this morning, and maybe you're